Now, for the past 14 years, the Botanical Society of Britain and Ireland have had a New Year plant hunt. This is when citizen scientists go out recording wild and naturalised plants in bloom. The information they gather tells us something about how our plants are responding to changing weather patterns and the implications this may have for all our wildlife. Ireland Officer for the Botanical Society of Britain and Ireland is Bridget Keenan, and she spoke with Éineann Ilana earlier.
Bridget, tell us about how it worked. Who went out? Who did it? Was it everybody? Citizen scientists? Specialists? Tell us about it.
Okay, so people went out all over the country. Anyone could go out and do it. It didn't have to be plant experts or anything like that. People went to all corners of the country, to towns, to coastal places, to wild places, to mountains. You could go wherever you like and you count everything that you see actually in full flower. Now, you don't count anything that's growing in a garden, but if there's plants that have escaped from a garden or maybe plants that aren't native to Ireland but have grown there naturally, you can count those, but they do have to be in full flower. Now, in total, there was 198 species recorded in full flower, but the average length of any given person's list was 11.9, so I know myself, I only found 10, so it very much depends where you're looking. And the longest list we had recorded in Ireland was 69.
So 69 species over 3 days is surely a lot in flower. Now, I'm just trying to think. If you just ask me offhand what we could say would be in flower, I might say, well, you could get daisies and dandelions in a nice sheltered place, perhaps. But what was the one that was most commonly recorded in Ireland?
Well, actually, you just said both of them. Dandelion was number one and daisy was number two. And then some of the other ones we saw in flower were gorse, groundsel, winter flowering heliotrope, ragwort, buttercup. I mean, there's a long list, but they're some of the most common ones.
Now, when people write in or send us in pictures of things in flower, the question they always ask is this very early for a dandelion? Is this really early for a daisy? But in fact, because our winter up to that wasn't that cold, surely they're not all starting out again. I mean, some of them might have been never died in the first instance, that they were continually flowering since last August. So how do you know whether they're coming or going, as it were? Are they late ones that are still around, or are they early ones that have just arrived?
Well, some of them it's kind of easy to tell. The things that flower in the summer, about half of the things that we recorded were things that were flowering late that perhaps hadn't been killed off by the frosts and things like that. Might suggest that there's been less cold weather and coming to the autumn and winter. So that was about half of the species were things that we consider were flowering late. Then there's about a quarter of them that really things that flower all year round and you can't really predict, like daisies and dandelions. If you go out for a walk, you'll probably always see those. So about a quarter of the species were things that either flower all year round or you would expect to be flowering at that time of year, like winter flowering heliotrope. And about another quarter, well, the remainder of the number of species are things that are spring flowering species, like, I don't know, for example, maybe celandines and primroses that are flowering early because we can only deduce perhaps because of milder conditions, but also, I mean, every year there's a little bit of variation and different plants will have, you know, some genetically will be different. So some will flower a little bit earlier and some will flower a little bit later within that species group.
Yes, so there's natural variation. But in general now, is there a trend? I mean, this is not the first year you've been doing this by any manner of means. So are we seeing a pattern here? And what are the patterns we're seeing?
Well, I suppose we've been doing this now for 14 years and in the scheme of things, 14 years isn't really a long time to be making any kind of firm judgments about what we're seeing. As I say, there is natural variation in plants as well, and there'll always be a few that are flowering a little bit outside their normal time. But I think in general, we're starting to see a trend of a few more flowering a little bit earlier and then maybe some persisting flowering a little bit later than usual. So we'd be cautious about making firm conclusions at this stage just because 14 years isn't a long time.
But the thing is that it's all controlled, the changes, I presume, by temperature, because the light doesn't change. Climate change or global warming or any of those things doesn't affect the length of daylight that we have. That has not changed and won't change. The sun will always be at its shortest day in December the 22nd. It'll always be at the equinox in the 21st of March. But what does change and is changing are the temperatures. So this change in when the things are coming into flower must be some kind of a relationship between that and how our temperature is changing. Is this soil temperature, air temperature, whatever? That must be what is the varying factor, would you think?
I mean, I think that's very likely. We are certainly seeing higher temperatures and we are starting to see a little bit of a change in flowering times of plants. So that would be, I suppose that's a likely conclusion.
Now, I'm just trying to think, what unusual ones did you get? There's an old expression, I'm sure you know it. When the gorse is out of bloom, kissing is out of season. So it was always known, because kissing is never out of season, that the gorse was always in flower. People always knew that. But are there things in flower that you found in Ireland that you were surprised at?
Well, there was a few sort of interesting finds. So, for example, there's a plant called Bilbar fleabane that came in at number 36. Now, that's a non-native plant, and that only started to appear in Ireland in 1992. And yet it was number 36 on our list, so that's quite high up. And it's a non-native species. It looked a little bit like a groundsel. It's a daisy family. It originally comes from South America, so that's kind of an interesting development.
What do you mean by number 36 on your list? I mean, from that list was dandelion number one in that everybody found it and daisy was number two, like most people found it. Or what do your numbers mean?
So they're the most frequently recorded plants in Ireland during that survey.
So dandelion would be number one in that sense.
One that nearly everybody found.
Yeah, indeed. And how many did you get? 198 of these altogether.
198 altogether, yes.
Oh, yes, so 34. 34 is very, very far up, really, isn't it?
It is, for something that's only recently started to grow in Ireland at all.
So this has been going on for 14 years. It happens, it's all over the British Isles, as we would call it, from a geographical entity, because, after all, it's the Botanical Society of Britain and Ireland. I presume there is also the same all over, not just Ireland, more species and greater variety as the years go on.
That's true, yeah. I mean, also, the other nice thing is we're seeing an awful lot of more people taking part in this project than we've seen in previous years. So people are getting more interested in it as well. So that's an interesting development too.
Do people know all these flowers, or do they go out and make a list, take pictures and send them in and you have to identify them?
So I think there's a little bit more awareness of the things that people do know. I think people are becoming more interested. But also we produce these spotter sheets for people so that they could look at the most commonly recorded plants in their area. So we did a special spotter sheet for Ireland so people can look at the sheet and compare their flower to the picture on the sheet. But also we had a help desk all the time through the New Year plantant period, so people could email their pictures or they could put them on social media.
Ah, the wonders of modern technology. It sounds a great project. It's great it's going on, and presumably it'll be happening again next year and we can all take part.
Yeah, absolutely. And people can sign up already for next year's hunt. So, yeah.
And you can just do it in the area where you live. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to arrange with anybody. You can, as long as you go to somewhere where the flowers are not planted by anybody that you know. They're not in a garden or somewhere like that. And write down on the list whatever you see that's in flower. It's great. I must do it next year myself. Good to talk to you, Bridget.
Lovely. Thank you. Lovely to talk to you.
Thank you, Aina. Details on the website rte.ie/Schmooney.